This is the live feed. It's your connection to live music and entertainment in Winona. Support for this program is made possible by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.
This week on the live feed, the acoustic sort of bluegrass, sort of folk, sort of country band, the Beef Slew Boys, treat us to some of their eclectic music. Animated storytellers, the boys tell me about how their humble group began, where their passion for music comes from and how it maintains, and some of their most memorable performances. You are listening to KQAL, and this is the live feed. I am Anna Flores, and I am sitting down with the Slew Boys, the Beef Slew Boys.
There we go.
I want you guys to introduce yourselves and what you play or what you do in the band.
Well, I'm Scott Lowry, and I play guitar and harmonica and washboard.
And you sing.
And I do sing.
Yeah, you're a big singer.
I try.
Yeah. My name's Jeff Morgan, and Scott Lowry is also Lou Slew. We all have pseudonyms. And so I'd be Lester Slew, and I play banjo ukulele, resonator ukulele, six-string guitar like you're used to, acoustic, and resonator guitar, and harmonicas, and I sometimes sing, too.
I'm Bub Slew, a.k.a. Price Taylor. I drive the bus and play the bass.
I'm Jim Reinecke. I play mandolin and banjo, sometimes called Blue Slew or Xavier, if you want to be a little bit more adventurous.
Xavier. Save us all.
Where did those names come from?
There we go.
That's a good question.
Oh, boy. Tough one.
I think it all started out on the Slew.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't know what a slew is, perhaps.
A lot of people call us the Slow Boys.
Slouch Boys.
Slouch. Hey, you Slouch Boys.
It's S-L-O-U-G-H, and that is for people who live around these parts. You know that that's backwater on the river. But we've found that not everybody knows that. But Jeff and I were involved in kind of an escapade out there fishing one day. At least that's the allegation, is that we had kind of a strange supernatural encounter out there on the slough, and ever since we've been, cursed. We've been cursed. To wander around playing this kind of music, whatever kind of music this is, and we're never quite sure how to explain that. But we've
made it up for fun, is the short answer. We pretend as if we're related brothers. But really, I don't even know these people. I don't even know why they show up each time and want to play music, especially with Lou, but me too. And so...
So there you have it.
There you have it.
So that's the good story. What about the true story?
The true story is that Jeff and I were teaching across the hall from each other at Winona Senior High, and then I went to some kind of event down at the Winona Art Center, and there he was, this mild-mannered art teacher. He was up there playing his guitar and singing and playing harmonica, and I think we talked about it at school the next day and said, hey, I guess we've got some music in common. And so we started playing some music together, and then we recruited some other people and kind of grew from there.
So you guys have a whole mix of sounds like bluegrass and blues and country. Where do those all come from, and how do you guys blend them all together?
Well, I think, Anna, it comes from what you listen to and what excites you at the moment. I think I can safely say that this group listens to lots of different music. I started with Ernest Tubb on my mom's turntable when I was like 5 and wore out this old 45 record of Thanks a Lot. And I just played it and played it and played it. So that was an automatic for me, country. And my dad listened to country in his truck as he hauled lime and gravel and that kind of thing. But the other parts, you just listen to things as you go through life, and that's what you want to play. It's making your own soundtrack. So that's how it was for me. And I know Lou here was involved with radio up in the cities, and he probably has a slightly different take on it.
Well, I don't know. When I was a little kid, I remember listening to a lot of folk music. That was kind of during the late 50s, early 60s, and my parents had this brand new, exciting, high-tech hi-fi thing that, where they had these long-playing records instead of the 78s. So we graduated to the 33 and a thirds, and they had some, I don't know, Burl Ives and people like that. I guess that's where I first heard
classics.
Music. Classics. Yeah.
Oh, boy.
And then we actually had some old 78s of some really strange stuff like Louis Armstrong and some New Orleans jazz and stuff like that. I don't know about you guys. Similar stories, I suppose.
Very similar stories. The first record I ever owned was The Marvelous Toy by the Chad Mitchell Trio, which is like a pop folk song. But then I was more of a rock and roll fan, I think, for a long time. I came back to traditional music much later in life, college, when I started to play with another friend of mine whose brother actually was playing it, and we listened to him and picked up some things there. But it's been a long, circuitous path for me to get back to traditional music.
And I've always listened to radio. You know, I remember growing up in Wyoming when radio was radio, and you'd hear lots of different kinds of songs, from rock to country. You know, it's not like radio today, with the exception of these community radio stations and college radio stations. I played played trombone through high school and college in orchestras, and then a guy asked me to play bass in a punk band, so I played punk rock, and then I played electric bass for a while, and then I kind of let it go. And then when I went back to college the second time, first time of course I flunked out, when I went back to college the second time, a guy asked me to play tub in a jug band, and that kind of opened my eyes to old-timey music. And I played tub for a year. And then we hired this mandolin player, and she had this old broken down string bass, which I've fixed up and never looked back. I like old timey music. I like, the older I get, the older the music I like. But I still like Pink Floyd and Jethro Tull.
You released a CD. What was that process like?
It wasn't simple.
It wasn't simple, and we did it either mistakenly or just to try and do it on the cheap at my home studio, which, to be honest, I'm still trying to figure out. So there were a number of little breakthroughs and a number of setbacks in terms of getting recordings we liked, waiting for the trains to go by in Fountain City or traffic and so on,
or thunders, all
sorts of things, because I live in Fountain City and that's just part of it, or just coming up with a mix that was satisfying and yet featured some of our strengths, which was a good challenge.
It's kind of like looking at your own photographs or whatever, where you notice all the things that you'd do differently next time if you were going to take that picture over again or tell that story or whatever. But I think it's got a lot of charm, and it's a pretty good picture of kind of where we were at a couple of years ago, whenever that was that we did it. But DIY kind of operation, you know, we pretty much got it all the way through to the final product, and then we had some pros work on it a little bit to package it up. So I still enjoy listening to it once in a while. I understand there's a lot of people around who listen to it and enjoy it.
Do you guys plan on making another one?
I think we will. I don't think we have solid plan or have a solid idea of what that will entail, whether it'll be live recordings or go back to a studio, won't say mine, won't say where, but it might be a mixture of those things as well. And we certainly have 10 times more material than we need to start a new
That's
one.
For sure.
We have so much new material that it's ridiculous for us not to be working on something. But we're having a lot of fun just working with different people now and then, and playing for new venues now and then, and getting to meet people like you. And so it's all good.
My hope is that we have some really good gigs where we have the opportunity to get proper recordings, live recordings. Because anymore, marketing music has a lot to do with the social networking pages and your website. The more stuff you can record that you feel like posting, the more you'll get out there. Obviously, we don't have $30,000 to go into a studio and have some hotshot tell us what to do.
But of course, if there's anybody in the listening audience out there who does and would like to be our new producer, I mean, just give us a call.
We're definitely open to suggestions.
Just so we don't have to wear pants
right.
or, you know,
powdered blue tuxedos.
Go in a
I could see
VW
that.
Bus together. Uh-huh. I don't think we could
VW
do that.
I like VW buses.
I do too, but not for a long gig.
Right.
I kind of feel like, you know, you play in these little bars or taverns and these little dark places, and you know, it kind of adds to your eclectic persona. And I mean, making these albums in your basement almost adds to that too. So
it's a character building activity.
Yeah, well, we've had some great shows, and they're not always the shows that pay us the most. You know, a lot of times after you've had a show and you think back on it, it wasn't about how comfortable you were or about the number of people that pack the place. It's about that response and what you mm-hmm. feel as you were playing it. And
sure.
and if you make a little breakthrough musically, that's more gratifying to me than being in an air-conditioned studio or having a bunch of people scream or come up to you and afterward. And
not that we've throw, had that experience.
Throw a loving... Often. Well, we've had some people say some nice things after
certainly,
our events, but
certainly.
But you know, it's not what you hold out for. It's hoping that you do what you're capable of and get that sound that you're searching for.
And what's kind of neat, too, is sometimes you'll see older folks out there tapping their feet, mm-hmm. and we'll have old folks dancing and young folks dancing, and the little kids love it. So that's good. Music is good.
We really enjoy the little kids. A lot of us have kids, and I get to work with tons of little kids, and so getting to see them dance naturally, you know, without anybody teaching them how to our music, that's pretty nice. Mm-hmm. So we enjoy that.
Don't you do you pull audience members up out of the
well we do but we're trying to make that on a kind of a limited sense.
Sometimes we've gotten carried away.
We get that, carried but... away, and before you know it, you're back to you being five in the basement banging on trash cans and pan lids, right. And if the band sounds like that, and it can get that way, then you have to back up a little bit and say, okay, kid, can I have the kazoo back? Come on.
Right. Please.
Okay. All right. I'll call you up in a little bit.
Right.
But it's fun. Though. It's a yeah. lot of fun.
Yeah. And also, you know, I think for me, just connecting with sometimes just a few people in any of those venues, you know, whether it's a wedding or a graduation party or whatever, you know, we've played for a variety of different situations, and you know, it's kind of an interesting challenge going into it to figure out what would they be interested in hearing, you know, and who's paying attention and who can you kind of get a dialogue going with in between numbers, and each one is a whole new event.
What do you like most about performing in Winona or the Winona area?
Well, I enjoy the mix of people that come to hear us. We don't have any one group that we know is going to come out and see us. There are a few returnees, of course, but it's always a little bit different. And we've played at so many different venues, from the river festivals to playing on riverboats in this area to playing for farmers markets. We've played in private parties and a number of fundraising things for the school district and otherwise. It's just gratifying to be part of so many different audiences. So I just like seeing different people and hearing a lot of different responses to what we do, and it's generally pretty positive.
And it can be a little frustrating sometimes to find venues anymore. I mean, live music sometimes feels like a vanishing species, unfortunately.
Karaoke.
But I have to say that, you know, yeah, thanks to karaoke and jukeboxes and DJs and,
you know. It seems like it's turning that way, but don't you think we've been fortunate?
I do think we've been fortunate. That's what I was coming around to say.
Okay, yeah,
really,
I'd say everybody
we've been
from
well
Bob,
supported.
Dr. Bob, to Alex Stevens, to so many people have looked out for us and helped us to move on to that next level. And really, what more can you ask for? We never expected to get rich doing this. And I don't think that that's anywhere in the back of any of our minds, but it's nice to have a place to play, so we're looking forward to
Midwest Music Festival.
Midwest
the
Music
end of
Festival.
July. Let's check that out. They've got a real nice website, and we're going to be playing at that on Saturday, the last Saturday in July.
Big shout out to Ed's No Name Bar, who consistently mm-hmm. runs live music.
Oh, yeah, he's the yeah. best. He's mm-hmm. the best, and I can't wait to show off my new Ed's T-shirt.
All right.
Who does most of the writing, and how do you guys collaborate?
Well, that's a mm-hmm. great question. We wrote one tune, our first
together.
And last tune, together.
Right.
It's not
how
one of
those,
our better.
Those songwriting teams in days
oh,
of
goodness.
Yore, how did they do it?
Well,
I
think
Lennon-McCartney,
Lennon
how
McCartney,
did they do it?
Not.
I think they lied is how they did it. I think they shared, you know, credit, but I honestly don't think it's very easy to work with somebody when you honestly are seeking your own voice through the writing. And it's something that ebbs and flows, and that's kind of hard unless you're so complimentary in terms of writing. But for us, I had been writing for some time before I even considered joining Scott or Lou there. And I just kind of encouraged him. But he's been a writer outside of music. He's been a poet and essayist and someone who will write prose. And, And so it was not anything unnatural or a stretch for Scott at all. And he just took to it just immediately and has written some wonderful songs for us. It's kind of a sharing back and forth. And it's always fun to say, hey, I got a new song here and I'd like you to hear this and just get a little feedback from it. And then little by little, you decide if that's part of the show or the set list, or if that's just something you're just going to work on, or if that's something that goes on the back burner and eventually dies down with the hard drive, you know, on your computer. So it just kind of depends. But there's so many different types of approaches to writing and so many different types of songs that between us, we have quite a bit of material.
Jim and I get to help by tempos, pulses, you know, the things we do is the rhythm section, bass and mandolin in acoustic bands, and I'm boom and he's chick. Boom, chick, boom, chick.
But so, to everybody's credit, we all put in our two cents as a band and make suggestions for arrangements or how could that be different, and nobody holds back too much on letting somebody else know, you can't really sing that, can you? Or maybe you'd be more comfortable in this key, or let's try a different tempo or a different feel. And all of that's good. You need that kind of feedback as a writer and performer.
The different tempos will actually change a song completely. You play it one way for a number of gigs or rehearsals, and then someone gets the idea, oh, let's try it slower or faster, and it turns into a kind of a new song.
I mean, we did that with Ring of Fire.
Jeff particularly loves to take his own songs and after we've learned them one way, he'll come back and revisit them in an entirely different setting. And it's really, I don't know, what would you say, refreshing kind of to try something that we're almost getting a little tired of. And then all of a sudden it's like a brand new song. So that's a lot of fun.
Well, there's a lot of shooting and missing. So every now and then, you got to work to get on target sometimes.
Right. It is something that Jeff learned with his years with Bob Dylan, you know. You can take a song and treat it 100 different ways. And that kind of comes back to a question you earlier asked about types of music and influences. You can take any kind of song and four or five or six musicians treat it in the way, and we're acoustic. And we could take a Lady Gaga song and see what happens. I don't know who's singing.
Cool. That could be pretty cool.
Well,
neat.
I don't think we can today. But I've heard a Lady Gaga song.
We've strayed fairly far afield, you know.
Yeah.
Lou Reed.
Yeah. And I'm trying to get you to do an Iggy Pop.
Yeah. So no, we're not too far on that one.
Well, we'll see.
But it's just you can treat a song anyway, and it comes back to what I said before. A good song is a good song.
Do you guys have any memorable stories from shows or just in general want to share with us?
Good memories or bad?
Yeah, we've had...
Preferably good.
We've had quite a few memories. Like we said before, I've always enjoyed the kids coming up and wanting to join us. And every now and then we had this show out at what was called Smith Gardens, is now Suncrest Gardens. We had this show where this guy, what was his name, Emery? I'm trying to remember. Remember, he convinced himself that he was like a musician after he played jug on two tunes. Mm-hmm. And then he turns to us and says, I think I'm going to take a break, but I'll come back to you guys. I think we'll play some more together. You hang in there, you know, and he walks off.
This is like an 8-year-old.
Yeah, if that. Mm-hmm. And so he's like, okay, that's enough for me. It's kind of like Muddy Waters seeing the band warm up for him for 3 hours. And then he does two tunes, and that's his show, you know. Mm-hmm. But that was pretty funny. And, you know, it just, everything is different. Every single gig you play has something in it that's great. And then there's always also something that you say, oh, let's think through that again. But that's just part of the game.
I guess I would say that there's some gigs you don't want to go to or start out really rough for one reason, you know, travel and set up and this and that. But I've never left a gig unhappy.
Where was that we had the dancing flowers and dancing bees that came out on stilts as we were playing? It seemed like it was...
I don't remember that. I don't know what
it was.
You...
It really? Yeah, yeah.
And, I don't know what you were
I
imbibing
what
at the
that
time,
girl gave me before the show.
That was pretty powerful.
Yeah.
That's the Kickapoo Kickapoo Country Fair.
We had a lot of fun at that. It was pretty darn hot.
Yeah,
but that was great. Mm-hmm. We were playing in the middle of a tune, and all of a sudden, it's just perfect. Fishing Blues, I think we were doing, and all these flowers, which are people on stilts dressed as flowers and bees, and they all start walking around and dancing, and then pretty soon everybody
they didn't tell
out
us that they were
going to
do that.
No, it's just great,
a bit of a surprise.
Just really uplifting. So that was nice.
I'm a firm believer in festivals, and I suggest that everybody go out and support whatever local music festival that's, because you have fun, and as a musician you get to go there, you get to hear good music all day. Sometimes you get to play on stage, but if you bring an instrument, guess what? You get to hang around and play all night and learn from people. And the trick is getting going the next day.
And first time I ever performed, and then I didn't perform for like 25 years, but it was fun, was at a festival that I went to when I was in college. It was like a big, huge bluegrass festival. They had like an open stage thing, and if you went up and did one number, they would refund your price of admission, which was like $3 a piece or something. Ooh. So we were so there were three of us. So we went on as the $9 string band, and I was playing harmonica, and one guy was playing lap dulcimer, and the young lady was playing auto harp.
Wow,
it's kind of an odd little trio. Anyway, they applauded wildly, and I guess that's probably why I came back to it after all those years.
Yeah.
Was what a positive experience.
Do you guys have anything else you want to plug or say?
Oh, boy. We should probably plug something. What do you think?
There's a Facebook and a MySpace. Just Beast Slew Boys. Just type that in. You'll find it in a search engine.
Mm-hmm.
MySpace.
Everything you ever wanted to know about us.
Yeah,
besides what you heard. Yeah.
Wow.
And we're, of course, available for all kinds of special occasions.
Yeah.
Weddings, bar mitzvahs, wakes.
You may regret.
We're still hoping for a funeral, but I'd like to do kind of a New Orleans jazz funeral sometime.
Yeah. You can play for my funeral.
That. Okay.
How's that?
All right.
I'd love to have you.
And now the Beef Slew Boys performing some of their songs.
Fishing all the time. Thank you. like a butterfly, sink like a stone. And whatever you take, it better be homegrown. Got some homegrown. Little cup of tea fix you up for sure. Self-medicated from the seeds you sown. When you're feeling better already, when it's all homegrown. Down to the bar, out to the roadhouse, it's not that far. It'll be homegrown, sounds so sweet. Your body starts moving to the homegrown beat. Everyone on the radio sounds like a clone. So let's go dancing tonight, where it's all homegrown. Homegrown, it sounds so sweet. Your body starts moving to the homegrown beat. Everyone on the radio sounds like a clone. Let's go dancing tonight. Except for KQAL. They're not clones.
One, two, three, and...
You have been listening to the Beef Slew Boys on the live feed. We would like to thank the boys for joining us at our studio and performing some of their favorite songs. Join us here again every Wednesday and Friday evening at 6:30 for more of The Live Feed.
Thanks for listening to The Live Feed. The Live Feed is produced by KQAL-FM on the campus of Winona State University. For more information on tonight's show, visit us at kqal.org.